I'm Lights, Camera, Jackson. Can you believe it? The Oscars is just a few days away. It's earlier than ever this Sunday, and I can't think of a better person to preview the Oscars with than my good friend, critic, host, Mark S. Allen.
I can think of a billion better people to have on than me, but I'm so honored to be on your show. You know, I have championed you since you were like, I think a newly fertilized egg was the first time we had you on my show. So to be on your show now, I feel like I've come full circle. I'm not honored, but proud to be a part of your show, Jackson.
Oh, I'm so glad you're here. Yeah, Mark is one of the founding members of the Critics' Choice Association. We just had the Critics' Choice Awards 25th year. Can you believe it's been 25 years?
No, it makes me feel so old. Like I forget how old I am until I realize, 25 years. And I was relatively young when we started that thing out. It was 12 of us in a tiny room across the street from the Beverly Center Hotel having just horrible sandwiches. Around a conference table. The entire membership could fit at one table. And then look at us now.
Amazing. Amazing. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood took Best Picture at the Critics' Choice Awards. It's nominated again at the Oscars on Sunday. I know you got to meet and take a photo with Tarantino. Was that one of the highlights for you this time at Critics' Choice?
Yeah, you know, because his career, pretty much me talking about movies on a television platform, pretty much started about the first time people even knew who Quentin Tarantino was. So to watch his career have its ride and the longevity and see him still cranking out same, if not better quality films than ever, that's the most exciting thing about it. I'm a huge fan. So I'm geeked out anytime I'm able to talk to him, both filmmaker to filmmaker and critic to filmmaker. That was a big moment. And, I have to extract myself from my love of Tarantino product to really see the playing field objectively, because I would vote for him for everything.
We'll get into some of the big Oscar categories and predictions here in a little bit, but I got to tell everybody out there, you got to follow Mark on Twitter and Instagram at TV Mark S. Allen, because you do some amazing things. You go all over the world. You were recently at Monster Jam. I love listening to those Monster Jam commercials and El Toro Loco. That must have been really fun.
El Toro Loco squashing cars like bugs. Yeah, it's funny that I followed stuff like that. Like one day I'm at Monster Jam. The next thing I'm among royalty in the UK for the Birds of Prey premiere. So it's a vast and varied content that I gather.
Yeah, Birds of Prey is the big movie also opening up this weekend, sort of going up against the Oscars in terms of movie attention. And Margot Robbie, a Best Supporting Actress nominee for Bombshell. When you were talking with Margot, did she seem excited about this kind of big moment in her life with this Oscar nomination and with this big movie?
She seemed a little bit overwhelmed. Like, I think it was just dawning on her, because she's not even at the tail end of all the promotion of Birds and Prey, and knowing that she will have no breathing room whatsoever. She'll exit right from all of her New York press that she's doing right now for Birds of Prey, straight into her West Coast jaunt to get ready for the Oscars. And it's not her first rodeo at the Oscars either, with Tonya being considered before. So we'll see.
Absolutely. You've been doing a lot of great things with Extra Butter and on ABC 10 Sacramento with The Morning Blend. Is it true you're up to 6 Emmys now? That is incredible.
Yeah, I've had a lucky stretch of that. The show I used to do, Market the Movies for Reels Channel, earned the first 3, and then we flipped over and started doing Extra Butter worldwide for AFN, and then here in my hometown of California State Capitol, they got me 3 more. I'm lucky. I'll take them. I don't deserve them, but I park them handsomely in my movie room to reflect some light.
And one of the other amazing things, and I'm so thrilled for your success, is when it comes to producing big movies. Apparition came out at the end of the year, huge hit on VOD and with critics and audiences. Are phones really that scary? Is it true that they're so scary enough to be part of a horror movie?
Yeah, no. They're not that scary. And the whole part of Apparition came at the very last rewrite. Apparition, by the way, and I don't want to sound cliche, based on real events, but it really is based on real events. That whole movie wouldn't have happened if not for these real events. In California, prior to the 1900s, all young boys were being blended with the adult population of San Quentin. And then they built this place called the Preston School of Industry, which was a home for wayward boys, which sounds like a nice, lovely alternative to San Quentin, but it itself became like this horrific sweatshop and boys were murdered. The housekeeper, the mistress, was murdered. And it sounded like a great place to shoot and have a horror movie come to life based on a real subject. So then at the last minute, we needed to tie it into, you know, young millennials and have some kind of hook. So the last rewrite, we had a kid develop an app that when you bioconnect to your phone, whether it's through your touch sensor or through vision, it drops a pin on a map where there's unfinished business. And for this young group of kids, it takes them to the Preston School of Industry where they find out they're connected with the aforementioned deaths.
Wow. Sounds spooky. Sounds intense. Check out Apparition on VOD. Let's get into the Oscars now with Mark S. Allen here on the LCJ Q&A. Now, you have a great connection to Greta Gerwig, one of this year's big nominees for adapted screenplay for Little Women. You've known her for quite a long time.
Yeah, Greta Gerwig was she's a kid. She grew up at a very popular private school called St. Francis. And they have these incredibly embedded art programs, both for theater and Greta Gerwig jumped right in and was a standout talent for my friends that are a part of the St. Francis program. So I had been seeing her work for some time. And then she just blended with like local filmmakers and then got heavily entrenched in the New York mumblecore scene of just raw organic filmmaking. And there was never a doubt in my mind that she wasn't going to go on to do something that would be permanently respected. And Lady Bird was the first sign of that. And now here we are again. Lucky with Little Women.
Nominated a couple years ago for Lady Bird in the directing category and in the original screenplay category. So she won the Critics' Choice this year for adapted screenplay for Little Women. I think it's really a battle between her and Taika Waititi for Jojo Rabbit in this category. I'm still kind of going back and forth on it. Do you think that Greta Gerwig will win an Oscar for Little Women?
You know, I feel so close to it. I don't know if I can even objectively answer that. I would like her to win it. I think she deserves to win it, but I so loved Jojo Rabbit. And, you know, my gut is that I think it may be going Jojo Rabbit now that we're down to the wire, now that the dust is settled with all of the other award shows and all the guild representation has now been laid. It might be Jojo Rabbit.
I like Jojo Rabbit, but I saw what Greta was able to do and kind of turn the tables on Little Women, and it got a lot of people's attention that way, and a lot of people saying she should have been in the director category as well. So maybe all those people who wanted to see her in director decide, you know what, let's give her this adapted screenplay category win. So it'll be really interesting. I think that's one of the better races on Sunday.
Yeah, if you talk about the way the nominations for the Academy Awards landed, I mean, what you just said may ring true, that there's some guilt that was absolved by people by voting her the best screenplay category in the screenplay category rather than director. They felt like they gave her her due. Maybe that's going to carry over into a win.
We will see. We will see. Now, do you think we've had the Golden Globes, Critics' Choice, SAG, BAFTAs. At this point, the four acting categories seem like locks. Do you see an upset in any of the four acting categories?
No, I don't think there's any way. I think if you and I are on the same page, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think Joaquin Phoenix is a lock. He is going to take that for the Joker, and that's going to be the big win for the Joker. Is going to be him for Best Actor. Do you agree or disagree?
I agree that Joaquin has got to win for this. I don't see somebody like Adam Driver coming in out of nowhere and stopping this. This is a dominant performance, one of the incredible ones of 2019. He's got to win.
Yeah, and when you think about it, we're like measuring this, and I would guess if we were voting members of the Academy, we too would be measuring this by fractional amounts because all of the performances were so good. Adam Driver's performance is still a part of me and still heartbreaking, but I think the bigger, bolder impression was left by Joaquin Phoenix. I think he's going to take it. And the best supporting actor, between you and me, I think Joe Pesci deserves it. A career best performance and showing skills and this subtle performance that we never knew he had in him. However, he's not going to take it. Brad Pitt's going to get it.
I do think Brad Pitt is going to win, though. I will say I liked Pacino more in The Irishman. To me, Pacino had the funny lines. He had the charisma. He had the dynamic character. Pesci was good, too. But Pacino would get my vote for the supporting actor category this year.
That's so funny. I just had a lunchtime, this exact lunchtime debate just moments ago with another movie critic friend of mine who said exactly what you just said. And I said, I agree with you that I like the character better and I love the performance better, just from an entertainment standpoint, but not from an acting standpoint.
And then we got Renee Zellweger for lead actress. She's got to be a lock too, right?
Yeah, and I think her performance was solid. I mean, her performance was the best thing about the movie. Her performance, so good, it eclipsed the movie. It's better than anything in that movie. Don't you agree?
Some of the other aspects of it, the costumes, the makeup, but that it does all surround her. So, yes, it's not an extraordinary film without Renee Zellweger's performance. And I don't see Scarlett Johansson coming in and upsetting her. But maybe Scarlett Johansson comes in and upsets Laura Dern in supporting actress.
That could happen. And man, that would give us something to talk about. I don't think it's going to happen. I think Laura Dern is pretty much a lock for that.
Yeah, I think Laura Dern's a lock too. I would love to see the Johansson's performance in Jojo Rabbit. To me, was one of the shining stars of cinema in 2019. I thought she was just incredible in that film. But I would love to see an acting upset because we haven't had one yet this award season, and by now there usually is one. So that would be fun.
That might be the one that gives a double take there at the last minute. I do love also the Laura Dern. When you talk about my friend Greta Gerwig, you know, her other half, her partner in life is Noah. Mm. Noah and Greta share Laura Dern in both of their movies. And so I love that. It's the year of Laura Dern.
Yes, Laura Dern with Little Women as well. Absolutely. Now, when it comes to Best Director and Best Picture, to me, I think Director is getting closer to a lock, but Picture is wide open. Let's start with Director. Do you believe that Sam Mendes will take home his second Best Director Oscar for 1917?
I think so. And let me tell you why. Because as a movie critic through the years, I've seen a sway in that category go way more technical, where the nod to director ends up being just more of craft than anything. And 1917 is all craft. I mean, and like cinematically legendary craft work in effect. And I think he's going to get it for that, deserves it for that. I love that movie. I think it is one of the greatest achievements in film of the last 50 years. So yeah, I'd like to see it. Want to know some trivia about the podcast that's taking place right now?
Sure.
I'm currently parked on a street that is featured in the very first moments of American Beauty.
Wow. That is awesome.
I just realized that as I'm talking to you. They flew the aerial shot right over the street that I'm parked on right now in the open of the last time Sam Mendes won the Academy Award.
There you go. That is really cool. Really cool. We had to comment on your technical achievement thing. I have to say, you know, this is like Birdman when Alejandro won 5 years ago. You know, the one continuous shot thing took the Academy by storm, and they rewarded him for that over Richard Linklater for Boyhood. And now I think they like that whole one continuous shot thing again here. But maybe Bong Joon-ho comes in like the tie at Critics' Choice. He and Sam Mendes split it. Maybe Bong Joon-ho sneaks in.
I think he could. I mean, that is it's a remarkable film. And if you think about all of the elements that had to go into place and on a smaller budget, too, to make that film work. Maybe it's going to lean to him for that.
And I feel like Parasite and 1917 seem to be the two movies vying for Best Picture at this point, though maybe Once Upon a Time in Hollywood sneaks in. You got Tarantino. He's never won Best Director, and rewarding him. I know there's been a lot of materials that Sony has put out in their campaign to try to get either him to win or the film to win. Which of those three films do you see winning Best Picture on Sunday night?
I'm torn personally because I love Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I tend to lean towards more blockbusters, more commercial fare, and it definitely was a satisfying, entertaining movie to watch. I'd like to see Quentin Tarantino at least have that ray of light in his life. I think it's going to be 1917, and I love that movie. I had the pleasure of seeing that movie sitting in the same row, although certainly he had seen it billions of times before. I was sitting on the same row with Steven Spielberg, producer of that film, a few steps to my right and a few seats to my left, Sam Mendes. So I'll never forget the moment I saw that film with the people that brought it to life. And I think it's going to be the year for that. If there's an upset, you and I both know it's going to be Parasite.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. I think I may go for Parasite as my pick for Best Picture because I'm trying to figure out, because the Oscar voters have the ranking system. They rank the movies 1 to 9. So the movie that gets the most number one votes may not necessarily be the movie that wins. So which film is going to have the number one votes, but is the number two vote film going to be the one that comes out on top? That's the question, and that will make the difference.
And if that happens, does that mean Parasite was the number two film, or does that mean 1917 was the number two film? Which and way that, is that chip going to fall?
Exactly, and that's the question we have to decide, because I think in the last couple years, a film like Shape of Water was number two and Three Billboards was number one, but Shape of Water won. Same with La La Land Moonlight, same with Green Book and Roma. So it's just a matter of deciding which one is number two, and that's probably going to be the one I think that wins, but I could see it going either way.
Yeah, have fun. And La La Land, another movie filled with lots of wonders. Wonder, yeah. Industry term for a single shot.
What Damien Chazelle was able to do, that was incredible. And yes, one of the big achievements of the 2010s for movies. What do you think, honestly, is what you're going to be most looking forward to when it comes to the show on Sunday outside of the winners? I know there's a lot of big presenters coming out. Maybe Steve Martin could do the open. That's a rumor right now because there's no host. What are you most looking forward to watching the show on Sunday?
Yeah, I had just heard that about Steve Martin. And if not Steve Martin, I just hope that they pull some punches and have some surprise. Because at this point, the stars, the audiences, were all over the awards show, sadly, by the time the Oscars roll around.
True.
So the pressure's on to bring something spectacular, and we haven't seen that in a while. So I would love for them to have something that shocks and amazes. And I'll be on pins and needles because I have, of course, no monetary value, but lots of wagering taking place over this year's Oscars. And usually I go in cocky and confident. I know the way it's going to fall. And this year, I got to tell you, Jackson, I have no idea, especially on this Best Picture. I lay awake at night wondering how this is going to fall.
That's what
I was kind of hoping you'd help me work through this today, but you haven't. I'm right where I was.
That's what we do. We lay awake at night going, all right, which one am I going to predict? Which one is this going to be it? Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot to go through, especially with the scrunched awards season. But this is a one and done. The Academy is going to go back to the end of February next year. This is a fluke. So we'll get a more spread out normal award season starting next year.
What do you think deserves Best Picture, though?
My favorite out of the nine is Parasite, so I would love to see that win. I could, you know, 1917 is fantastic as well. My third favorite, believe it or not, on this list is Ford v. Ferrari. I think it is a classic American story and the kind of movie that 20 years ago would have been a sure thing winner for Best Picture. It has no shot of winning, pretty much, but that's one of my favorites on this list.
Yeah, and I can't put my finger on it why it's not closer to being a contender, because there's nothing I didn't love about that movie. Mm-hmm. I loved, like Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, I love its snapshot of the era. I thought they captured that remarkably well. I love the performances. I mean, you can't beat Christian Bale, and Matt Damon rose to excellence as always.
Yes.
I can't put my finger on why it's not the contender, because I did love that movie.
Yes, I thought Damon gave maybe the best performance of his career in it. And I think, you know, because you have to at least get 5% of the votes to be in that Best Picture category, the fact that it's just in Best Picture but also three technicals says to me that people like this movie, even though it didn't get a writing, directing, or acting nomination, a lot of people like this movie enough to have put it on their ballot. So I don't know, maybe it comes in third or fourth. We'll never know, but maybe it's going to be higher up on the ranking list than we might be thinking.
Yeah, wouldn't it be crazy after all of this lollygagging about Parasite in 1917, Ford versus Ferrari ends up winning the Academy Award after we said it doesn't stand a chance?
Listen, I will go down and say this right now. It will be one of the greatest upset wins in the history of the Academy Awards.
Have you posted your picks yet?
By the time this is on social media and the website, yes. I will be posting all my picks in all 24 categories.
Okay, I'm going to go to that. That's now going to be my new barometer, my new cheat sheet. Because you, like, when you came on my show, see, my show is way more pedestrian. I've always, even though I consider myself a filmmaker, I've always liked to talk about movies kind of the way the average person walks out of a movie theater and talks about movie. You, on the other hand, are the movie mad scientist. You are the Mortons of movie critics. I am the In-N-Out Burger of movie critics. So I can't wait to see how you slice this up, because I really look up to you. And awesome. I mean that.
Thank you, Mark. You've done a lot for me, and I have so appreciated it over the years, and it was a thrill having you on this today. Mark S. Allen. Follow him on Twitter and Instagram at TV Mark S. Allen, and check out youtube.com/extrabuttermovies for all the interviews and clips from the Extra Butter Show. Enjoy the Oscars, and thank you so much for being on the podcast today.
Thanks, and not at all shameful plug number 12. Don't forget. Sam Mendes, Academy Award-winning star Mina Savari's in Apparition, now on all video on-demand platforms.
I'm Lights, Camera, Jackson. Thanks for listening to this episode of the LCJ Q&A podcast. For more, check out Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and lights-camera-jackson.com. Enjoy the Oscars on Sunday, and I'll see you back here very soon.